super honored to give a second TED Talk where I talk about my family's background as entrepreneurs and the DNA that makes a lasting business last. Thanks to New York City for having me for this second talk. Enjoy. Good morning. Super excited to be here. I think that we are really living in probably the most exciting time in the history of communication and the way that we talk to each other, the way we interact with each other, the way that we create communities, the way that we communicate, the way that we connect. And I think that it's changing really rapidly. And I think that basically over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, we can't even really grasp or understand the degree and the speed at which things will continue to change and continue to evolve and technology's role in all of that. At the same time, I think that we're living in an era where nothing has changed, right? And I think that the intersection of that place of rapidly changing technology and communication, as well as a place where nothing has changed, the intersection where those two things collide, for me, is a really interesting place to find magic, to build communities, and to build businesses doing the things that we love. And in order to kind of flesh that out, which is what I want to talk about today, which is that place where everything is different and everything is the same, I want to tell you a couple of just quick stories about my own family. My ancestors are from Lebanon. I'm a proud Lebanese American. And when my ancestors came to the United States of America, they settled in a place called Peoria, Illinois, which was a small city about 3 hours south of Chicago with about 250,000 people. And in that town of Peoria, Illinois, my great-grandfather, my grandfather, and my uncle, they started a business. Lebanese people are very entrepreneurial in spirit, and they started they embraced that entrepreneurial spirit, and they started a business. And that business was probably one of the sexiest, cutting-edge, on-trend businesses you could ever imagine. It was a local grocery store. So as you can imagine, that was something that they were very proud of. And that grocery store, without knowing the language, without knowing any people, without having really any connections to America whatsoever, became a very successful grocery store, a very, very well-known grocery store, and was in business for, I think, close to 60 years. So I didn't have the good fortune of meeting my grandfather because he passed away before I was really old enough to know him. But here's what I knew about him. The thing that my father was most proud of was that my grandfather's funeral was one of the most well-attended funerals of any funeral in Peoria, Illinois. So I get to thinking, okay, that's interesting. A lot of people loved my grandfather. Cool. And then his brother, who was my great uncle, his name was Uncle Ralph. And Uncle Ralph was a mentor to me. And aside from my father, he was one of the most generous, hardworking, value-driven men that I've ever met in my life. And I was really blessed to know him. When he passed away, we received a letter from a woman who was a past client of the Rashid Family Grocery Store. And the letter basically said this: "You guys don't know who we are, but we wanted to write you this because we just heard that Ralph passed away. Your father," so my grandfather, this letter was written to my father, "your father and Uncle Ralph, every single night for almost 2 years, set aside food for our family. My husband and myself couldn't find work. We had two kids we had to support, and we had really no way of paying for any food. And for every single night for 2 years, your uncle and your father put aside food, and that literally saved our life. And it literally was the reason that we were able to keep going." And then eventually this man went on to get a job, and he ended up actually repaying my uncle and my grandfather all the equivalent of what 2 years of food would have been. So when I heard those two stories, I thought to myself, it's really interesting. Like, what is it about these two men and this Rashid family, this local grocery store, that made them last 50, 60 years, that left this incredible legacy of people showing up to the funeral and writing these letters? So I wanted to know more. So I asked my dad, "Dad, what do you think the reasons that the grocery store was successful?" Like, and my dad basically had three really fast answers. He said, "Your uncle and your grandfather were better than anyone else at three things. Number one, they worked every single day, all day long.
right? And that's something that, like, all of us know. Like, I don't know anyone in the world that is successful that doesn't work a lot, or and that hasn't worked a lot persistently every single day, consistently every single day for many, many years. So that part, I was like, all right, I get it. But part two and part three, I think, were actually more interesting to me, which were number two, he said, and they knew every single thing about the lives of their customers. Huh, interesting, okay. And number three, they cared more than anyone else in the city about the lives of those customers. So when I pushed him a little bit more on that, I came to learn that what that meant was, and I think that this is the idea of really like real timeless customer service, what that meant was they learned about you, so they worked hard, right? And then number two was they knew their customers better than anyone else. And what that meant for, in a practical sense, for my grandfather and my uncle in the local grocery store was they knew your name. They knew your wife's name or your husband's name. They knew your kids' names. They knew that Johnny had a fifth birthday party coming up this weekend. They knew that Sally was getting her first communion. They knew what kind of meat you wanted when you walked into the butcher shop, right? They knew how many eggs you made for your family on a Sunday morning brunch. They knew everything. And that in and of itself, I think, is something that's pretty much becoming lost now. But then what was even more interesting to me about that was then they would do something about it, right? So for Johnny's fifth birthday party, there would be burger patties that Uncle Ralph would give Johnny's parents, right? They would send a dozen more eggs for Easter morning brunch. And I think that when I really think about what made these guys successful, I think it was two and three together, right? So the hard work plus the knowledge plus the actual taking that extra mile step of the action. And when I think about my grandparents, right, which is the part of what that I opened with that says basically nothing has changed, I think about our time today. I think about the way that we do customer service today. And I think if we applied a lot of that to the world today, we would see a lot of success. What I think is fascinating about everything changing, which is the second part of how I opened this conversation, is that we have it so much easier than our grandparents did. Right? So like if you think about what it took to build a business 50 or 60 years ago, let's just stick with the practical example of the Rash family grocery store. You stood in a grocery store for 16 hours a day and waited for people to walk in so you could slice up their ham or serve them the pork chop or give them the eggs. Right? And then if you cared enough about Johnny's fifth birthday party to give him some hamburgers, the first thing you had to know is that John and Jill have Johnny. Right? And what that means is you got to talk to John or Jill. What that means is you have to actually physically be in the supermarket every single time that John and Jill walk in so you can talk to them about their family. You can learn. And you have a 2-minute conversation here, and you have a 3-minute conversation here, and a month or a week or a year goes by, and you finally get to know someone. And then by the time you actually do something nice for them, what happens? John and Jill go home. They have 5 hamburger patties, and they say, what? They say to their cousin or their friend or the next door neighbor, hey, the Rash family grocery store, they're cool. They gave us 5 hamburger patties for free for Johnny's fifth birthday party. And that's where it ends, right? It was so much harder to scale that caring 50 years ago, even 20 years ago. Fast forward to today, and we're living in what I said is the most exciting time to build businesses and be a communicator and build communities ever, because what happens now is I don't have to be standing in a family grocery store. I don't have to be in a physical location. I can literally, from the comfort of my bed, scroll through and know everything about your life as my customer, or your life as my client, or your life as my community, or your life as my friend, in about 5 minutes on my cell phone. Because you're posting about Johnny's birthday party, you're talking about your family, you're talking about the things that are important to you, and then I can implement with really rapid speed an action, that third part, right? I can literally know what matters to you, and then I can surprise and delight you. I'm literally, in my company right now, have just hired someone that I'm calling the surprise and delight officer. Or their entire job is to scan every single post that goes into my social media world and figure out what's important to those people, and then we send them things, right? Because that is the digital world. That is the world that we live in now. And so now what happens, and this is what's really cool, is check this out.
Now, if I give Johnny and Jill 5 hamburger patties for Jonathan's 5th birthday party, what do? Instead of going home and telling their friend or, you know, Aunt Joanne or Uncle Brian about the restaurant at the grocery store, they go home and they take a selfie. Or they do a live video with Johnny at his 5th birthday party, and they say, thanks so much to the Rasher Family Grocery Store for donating our lunch today. And now I'm in front of 1,000 people, or 2,000 people, or 3,000 people, or 10 million people, just because I gave you 5 free hamburger patties. Right? That's just never, ever, ever been an option for any business, for any community building in the history of community building. Right? And for me, that is the intersection, and that is the fun, right? So you don't have to be in one place. So every single time that someone writes me a message on Facebook, that someone sends me a tweet on Twitter, that someone DMs me on Instagram or sends me an email, literally in my mind, what I'm thinking is they're entering my grocery store. They're entering my family grocery store. And I get to know about them and care about them and work harder than anyone else and surprise and delight them. And I think that when you can do that, right, when you can combine this old school customer service with this new school way of scaling caring, that's what I call the digital grandfather, right? The grandfather love and care and concern with the digital advancements. And I think that when you can do that, I look at every single person as, you are the reason that I will be able to stay in business for 50 or 60 or 70 years. But more importantly, maybe you'll show up at my funeral. And more importantly, maybe you'll write me or my children or my grandchildren or my great nephew or niece a letter that says, hey, you don't know me, but your dad saved my life. So I hope that I treat every single person that walks into my store with the same amount of love and respect and dignity that my grandparents treated the people that walked through their door. I hope that my grandparents and my Uncle Ralph are looking down on me today saying, I am so proud of how that kid, how that guy treats the people that walk through his door. And I hope they're as proud of the way that I treat people that walk through my door as I am of the way that they treated the people that walked through theirs. Thank you very much.